Very smart managers usually hire really good consultants to help them become better managers. Once you're in the frame, you cannot see the entire picture. That's why you bring in outside consultants.
What are the different things that we need to consider when we're looking at billing and writing time down, and how's that going to impact the firm's profitability?
You're listening to the Grow Law Firm podcast, where each guest shares actionable, practical ideas with you on how to get more clients, expand your reach, and grow your law firm's revenue and profit. Here's your host, Sasha Burson.
Hi there. I have a small but really meaningful favor to ask you. You know, I watch At The Stats on our YouTube channel and Spotify channel, wherever most people listen and watch our podcast, and I see that over 80% of everybody who listens to it regularly is not a subscriber. I'm asking you to subscribe to this channel. And the reason for that is my mission and the mission of my team is to help as many small law firm owners to learn how to transform their law firms into better businesses. And so they in turn enjoy better lives. When you hit subscribe button, you tell these platforms that this is content worth listening, worth viewing. And they in turn will show it to many other small law firm owners. And hopefully help me fulfill our mission of helping them create a better business and enjoy better lives. So would you please do me this favor? It would mean the world to me, and hit the subscribe button. And my promise to you is that I will continue to work hard at creating good content with practical ideas that help you and your teams grow better law firms. Thank you. Welcome to another exciting episode of Grow a Law Firm Podcast. I have a wonderful guest here with me. Suzette Welling has been in the legal industry for nearly three decades, 20 plus years of law firm management experience, certified legal manager, somewhat of a rarity. I have never met a certified legal manager before, and you have had the certification for, I believe, 6 years now. You're a board member of Association of Legal Administrators, which is no small feat, and now you're the president, founder and CEO of Law Practice Management, where you teach law firm managers everything they need to know to successfully manage their law firms. Welcome to the show.
Thank you.
How did you get started in this business?
I've actually been in law firms, you're going to start doing math in a minute when I tell you, since 1982. So straight out of college, started as a legal assistant. And then worked my way up to being a paralegal. And in 1996, an attorney who had been doing some work with one of my bosses, he was with the Attorney General's office, and he and two other former attorneys general were leaving the AG's office to start their own firm. And they needed someone to come run it for them, and they called me. I can't tell you why, because I had never managed a firm before, but I guess he saw something in me. And so it just really gave me a great opportunity. I'm still in touch with them today. I was with that firm that was in Albany, New York, and I was with them for 9 years. And then I decided I needed a break from the winter. So moved to sunny Florida in 2005 and have managed a few firms down here since then. And about 2 years ago, almost 2 years, went out on my own. So the one thing that I find working internally in firms is once I have fixed everything, I tend to get bored. So I like figuring out the issues, figuring out solutions. And then once everything's running smoothly, it's kind of like, well, now what? And so by consulting, you get the opportunity to do that every day, right? And it's just really satisfying, I think, to be able to feel like you're making a difference for people every day and helping them to learn different things that they didn't know about before, you know, and having, you know, we talked about Margaret Burke. And so Margaret and I both have a long history in law firms. And so between the two of us, we've seen quite a bit. And so what one doesn't think of, the other one does. And we're just having a great time.
So interesting, and the story is remarkable, but what I find exceptionally interesting is that you mentioned that a law firm, a sizable law firm, called on you back in 1996 and just wanted you to manage it for them. despite the fact that you did not have that specific experience. I have talked to hundreds, probably thousands of small law firm owners, let's say with up to 20 or so lawyers. And more often than not, they hire nice people to manage their law firms who may have some management experience prior to that. But I've never met anyone who had this type of certification, certified legal manager. And I find that those people are sharp, but are, forgive me for saying this, if anybody is listening to this and you're managing a law firm, but are undereducated in the department of managing a law firm. In your consulting career now that spans just 2 years, but I'm sure over the decades in the industry, you have met many, many law firm managers, CEO, COOs, or other types of titles. Would you find that to be consistent or fairly consistently true that the managers are not really well-educated managers?
Yeah, I think it really depends, obviously, on the individual and what their background is. I have seen in many cases where a firm, a lot of times I think out of desperation, they bring in someone, whether it's a bookkeeper, they have experience as a bookkeeper, but not in a law firm. And they think that they can just come and manage their firm. Law firms are a different animal. And I think, you know, we were using an IBM Selectric typewriter when I started. So I've seen a lot of transitions over the years. And I think, also, I think, you know, I was just really blessed. I worked with some really, really great guys when I first had the opportunity to move into management. And they had a lot of confidence in me. And I think a lot of it just was intuitive for me for whatever reason. Maybe just from having been in law firms for so long. One of the partners was a math guy. So his undergrad was a math major at MIT. So I learned a lot from him. They had some really complex compensation formulas that they had put together. The firm, when I first started, it was quite small, but we quickly merged with another firm. And when the two firms merged, they knew they wanted to remain friends. And they didn't all have the same work ethic. So they were all really good lawyers, but some wanted to work 24/7 and some wanted to enjoy life. And so they had a kind of a complex, and I think especially for back then in the 90s, way that they split the profits between eight equal partners. And so I learned a lot. I learned a lot through that experience, and it has actually helped me with other firms since then, and helping them come up with different ways to split the pie. Because I think, especially today, when firms need to bring in a lateral partner, you're not going to bring in a rainmaker if they're splitting the profits equally with everybody else in the firm. You know, it's just, there has to be some reward for what they're bringing to the table. And so being able to look at different ways to compensate the partners based on different criteria, I think, is really important today.
Yeah, splitting profit eight ways equally sounds like a nightmare scenario. I know that that firm is still in business now. Does it still have the original partners? And I realize that it's been 28 years since you got
so,
hired there.
One of the originals passed away a couple years ago, I'm sorry to say. Another has a couple more have retired. One is still there, and he was, you know, he was the one that worked 24/7, and he's still working. We still stay in touch. You know, it's just been, like I said, a blessing to have had that experience.
Suzanne, I want to circle back to what you do now. You mentioned that you come in, you help solve problems, and then you want to get out. This is what consulting business is all about. When looking at atypical, and you're about to tell us, like, what is atypical size of a law firm that you work with? What are the three most common problems that they bring you in to solve? And why can't those problems be solved internally usually?
A big one is strategic planning. So, and the size law firms that we deal with, usually two to three partners up to no more than 20 But the bulk of them, I would say, are less than five partners. Mm-hmm. So, and a lot of them are fairly new. They're not new to the practice of law, but they're new at owning their own firm. And so, you know, they don't know what they don't know. Attorneys typically are not managers. Some are. I've learned from some very talented attorneys who were good business managers, but typically that's not part of their skill set. And so one thing we really enjoy doing is helping with strategic planning. We use the EOS model, which I don't know if you're familiar with the book Traction. Mm-hmm. So we use that when we practice strategic planning with clients. And we actually find that with the strategic planning projects, we typically start out with a 6-month engagement so that there's plenty of time to make some marked progress. But so far, everyone has wanted to continue, even when we get to the end of the 6 months. They may cut back. Like initially, we meet every week. So we meet every week with the partners. We go over what's next as far as priorities. Help them put things in place like standard operating procedures, budgets, looking at attorney profitability. How do we do that? We can do that, you know, profitability by matter, by client. So that's a big one. Another big one is what I already mentioned, partner compensation. We've had several firms hire us just to help them with that. So sometimes our engagements are project-based where they're trying to find a solution and they don't know what the answer is. And I actually went through this at a firm that I managed where there was one founding partner. We had several attorneys, but only one owner, and he was bringing another equity partner on. And we really struggled with identifying the best way to do that, where she didn't have to stroke a check, but he was rewarded for everything he had done building that firm for 10 years and everything he had invested. And it's tough. You know, there's other firms out there that have to have done the same thing, right? But trying to get the answers from people is a real challenge. And so we ended up just figuring it out ourselves and put together a plan that I think worked really well. I think another thing that's important to look at when you're talking about compensation is to look not only at the numbers. I've been in firms where it's strictly eat what you kill and it's not a nice culture to be in. So there are ways that you can also objectively look at other ways that partners contribute to the firm, whether it's, you know, helping with a good culture, mentoring young attorneys, doing originating, but maybe not necessarily billing. So there are a lot of different pieces of the pie, business development, networking. So there are a lot of other things that are important to the firm that you can also put things in place where you can objectively quantify those things.
So what is strategic planning? What problem does that solve?
It really depends on the firm. So for example, we have one client who is developing a new business and his model is going to support clients throughout the country. And so he has a lot of, had a lot of ideas. He's actually, he's one that is a really good manager. Sometimes it felt like we weren't sure he needed us, but fortunately we always end the meeting seeing that we contributed something. So
there's something to be said about that. Very smart managers usually hire really good consultants to help them become better managers.
You
once you're in the frame, you cannot see the entire picture. That's why you bring in outside consultants, which is, I am a firm believer of that. My business partner is a firm believer of that. At mm-hmm. any given point of time, we have at least one consultant looking over our shoulder, usually mm-hmm. 2 to 3.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, regularly.
Well, it really
every
helps
2 weeks.
With accountability, right? Mm-hmm. So, you know, and especially if you're using the EOS model. So we've got, you know, everything laid out. We use monday.com for project mm-hmm. management. And so we've got boards that we've created that follow the EOS model. And, so there's, and then there have also been just times where a firm, they may have an internal manager, but the manager again is a bookkeeper. You know, they can bring in new employees, but they don't really go beyond that. And so they just need someone that has a little bit more depth of experience and can help again with things like creating standard operating procedures. I have a client who wants, they're a fairly new firm, and they want to make sure they keep their associates. And so we've put together a plan for them for associate progression to show how they go from a junior to a mid-level to a senior to a non-equity. And, you know, especially the younger attorneys come in and they want to know. They want to know on day one, how do I become vice president, right? So, so being able to do that, and it allows the partners to show the associates that they are investing in them. And we've actually gone now a step further and are developing a training program for up-and-coming partners. So what are the different things that we need to consider when we're looking at billing and writing time down, and how's that going to impact the firm's profitability? What are our attorney break-even rates so we don't write down more time than, you know, so that we don't end up with a loss as opposed to, you know, income on that time? Also teaching the attorneys about profitability. And again, it's not intuitive. I have a billing training that we have given to some of our clients, to their associates and paralegals. And when you show them a graph that shows how much a firm would lose if each attorney and each paralegal failed to capture just 1 hour a day, and then you multiply that by the number of work days in the year times the number of employees, it's really eye-opening. In fact, we had a meeting yesterday with a client. We did this billing training for them a couple weeks ago, and they said for the first time, everybody had their time in on time.
Oh, so now they understood that 1 hour lost per day times 250 days is 250 hours per year.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Times whatever your billing rate is.
You just lost 6 weeks of productivity.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
That's expensive. That's very times number of staff. Absolutely. So, Suzette, you sound like a universal soldier. Anything that needs to be done, you know how to do it.
Yeah, pretty much. Because when I was working internally, I had to do it all. Mm-hmm. You know, that's the other thing that's funny about law firms is in most industries, you don't see someone responsible for both finance and human resources. Mm-hmm. It's not typically the same skill set. And maybe that's part of the reason why people who don't have years of experience in a law firm, maybe that's why they struggle to be successful, because we're asking them to be able to handle two very different types of responsibility. And it's not typical for people to be able to work in both of those areas.
Yeah, this is definitely a fine point. I find that in the consulting world, and I met a lot of consultants over the years, folks who do consulting in the Fortune 1000 world tend to lack practical experience. As in, have they worked in the corporate world? They have. The duration of that experience is usually somewhat limited before they would go to a wonderful MBA program. Like here in Chicago, we have Booth and University of Chicago, which is one of the top business schools in the country. Mm-hmm. And after they get out, they start working for one of the big four consulting firms or any other consulting outfit, and they start billing $500,000, $800,000 per hour, but they lack practical experience. They mm-hmm. think that they made up for that practical experience by sitting in the classroom for 3 years and solving hypothetical scenarios. And sometimes those are real case scenarios that have already been solved. Now they're just going through like how things have been done, but they have never done that. You, on the other hand, it sounds like you have decades of experience before stepping into consulting, which to me, if I was managing a law firm, and as I like to say it, the biggest room in the world is the room for improvement, I probably would see a lot of room for improvement. Me hiring someone who has this much hands-on experience would be incredibly helpful. I also really appreciate the fact that you are very familiar with EOS system, which it is not often that I run into someone in the legal industry who knows what EOS stands for. Very, very, very rare, remarkably rare. And the fact that you're certified in this field, that makes you super rare. Do people, when they hire you, if I was a law firm owner, and let's say I was a typical law firm owner, let's say it's 5, 7, 8 attorneys on my team, times 2 of support staff, so you have a 20-person law firm. We have 2 practice areas and whatnot, and I am my current age. I'm in my mid-40s, and I am looking for a successful exit in the next 10 years. As in, I want to retire at 55. I want to solve this thing. So far, I've built it on my charisma and very long hours. I managed to attract some good people, but the reality is I'm a lawyer. I'm not a CEO. I have not had formal training in management. I have had formal training in law. I managed to build this thing so far today with a 20 staff person company, law firm. We're doing $4 million in revenue. And I see that the room for improvement is gigantic. I want to get to $20 million in revenue in the next 10 years. I know it can be done because my knucklehead buddy who went to law school with me has done this and did it 5 years ago. I'm giving myself another 10, so I'm like 15 years behind. But I know it can be done. And now I run into you and I'm like, can you help me?
Yeah, well, and you know, I think it's exciting. It's because there is so much that can be contributed in that situation. And I think, again, the EOS model, I think really helps, right? Because you're looking at 10 years out and then you're backing up to five and then you're backing up to three. And that, so it really helps you to put the steps in place to get where you're trying to go. I actually was very fortunate, a firm that I managed here in Florida, the partners and I all read Traction, and then we hired a certified implementer. And so I got to really learn how to use that system, and it's just been a great tool. I recommend it to everyone that I talk to, regardless of whether or not I end up working with them. But you know, you have to be intentional. And you know, we've all heard that saying, failing to plan is planning to fail. And I think it's really just a matter of looking at where you want the end game to be and then, you know, working your way backwards in order to identify how you get there. And then just having help you with the steps.
Can you help me go from 4 million where I am today to 20 million where I'd like to be in 10 years?
Sure.
How would you go about it?
If I'm partnered with the right person.
Okay. How would you go about it? What's the solution of 5Xing it in the next 10 years?
Well, you know, a lot of it, there's so many questions that would be involved there. So, you know, what practice areas are we talking about? How do you bill your clients? Do you have alternative fee arrangements or are you hourly? What's the ramp up rate for when you bring in a new associate? Are you able to find associates with experience in your area, or do they need a lot of training? For example, the firm that I mentioned where we had EOS, it was a transportation law firm. You don't find transportation lawyers to hire. You have to hire just good lawyers, and then they have to be trained. And the amount of education that they require is endless. You know, the managing partner used to say every day is like a bar exam because he was still seeing things that he'd never seen before. He was a great man. I learned a lot from him and at that firm. But there's so many pieces to it. I don't think it's something that you can answer in one conversation. I think it requires a lot of questions to be answered. And I think the biggest challenge we have today is recruiting. So we can put everything in place and start the plans for getting you to that goal, but we also have to be able to get the bodies with the brains to get the work done, because if we can't get the people, then we're kind of stuck.
How would we go about solving the revenue problem? Because we're at 4 million now, and now we give ourselves 10 years to increase fivefold. Mm-hmm. But how would we go about getting from 4 million to 20 million?
Well, how are you getting your clients currently?
So 50% through referrals, 50% through our website, digital marketing.
And do you know what your realization is as far as consults versus being hired?
Sure, it's 80%.
Okay, so that would be one of the first things I would look at is how many consults are we getting and how do we get more? We know if we know we're getting 80%, a return of 80% of those, then how many more consults do we need in order to get to the next number, to get to the goal for a year from now, and then 3 years, and then 5 years, and then finally 10 years. So that's a big piece of it. And then also, you know, what are your rates? Are your rates where they should be? Can we make them higher? Are there alternative fee arrangements based on what practice area you're in where maybe it results in a higher return? There's a lot that goes into that. You have to be really careful about who's doing the work. So we had some fixed fee arrangements at the transportation law firm, but part of the problem was the client always wants the managing partner. Well, he's obviously a much higher rate than an associate. And so you have to really have systems in place where we're, you know, processes are in place. So everyone knows the procedure and it becomes something that can be repetitive and it can be done by less expensive attorneys so that your return is better. So there are just so many pieces to the puzzle that can contribute to that revenue.
So this is very much like business consulting, where you come in, you identify the levers to pull on in order to increase revenue, boost profitability, ensure that the org chart is filled with the right people so mm-hmm. that they do their work on time, with proficiency, with excellence, hopefully. Then you look at HR, make sure that HR has a high retention rate, et cetera, et cetera. Mm-hmm. So it is business management consulting with mm-hmm. emphasis and deep subject matter expertise in legal management consulting.
Correct.
You're a hidden gem. More people should know
well,
about
you. Thank
you. Yeah, for sure. So I've been interviewing people on this podcast for nearly 2 years, and I've met over the years so many industry insiders in different walks of life and different industries and different niches. Never have I ever met anyone like you. So I didn't know that you exist, but now I do. So anybody who is watching this podcast who is ambitious about making their law firm better, again, think about it this way. The biggest room in the world is the room for improvement. If you're doing $1 million today, $2 million, $5 million, $10 million, $20 million, you can always do a lot better. And if you're ambitious, not content with what you have, if you want to make mm-hmm. a bigger impact on the world, that mm-hmm. revenue and that profitability, more importantly, profitability, will go a long way. Whether you mm-hmm. might have accomplished all of your personal financial goals, but you want to contribute more to this world, become a more charitable person. I know a guy who I met that was a bit younger, 2012. He told me that he was building a $1 billion company at the time, and he sold it for $1 billion. There were numerous investors, so his cut from selling that company was not that huge. But recently I saw a post that he made on LinkedIn, and he fulfilled one of his life achievements. He built a hospital. He took $50 million of his money and he built a freaking hospital. That was like one of his monumental achievements, right? He didn't need mm-hmm. to make that much money for himself, but he had a life dream of building mm-hmm. a hospital, not for himself, mm-hmm. for the community. Why? Mm-hmm. His father was a physician and his father inspired him to achieve greatness. So he was like, my dad came to this country with $8 in the pocket. He's from India.
Wow.
Was from mm-hmm. India. And he is like, one day I'm going to do something great. I'm not a doctor. I'm a finance guy. I'm going to build a business, sell the business, build another business, et cetera, et cetera. Build the hospital. Mm-hmm. So mm-hmm. wherever your greatness may lie, you probably could benefit hugely from meeting this wonderful asset of a person, Suzette Welling. So it was such a pleasure. How can people connect with you? And what are the right 2-3 questions that they should be asking you out of the gate?
Well, they can connect with me through my website, lawpracticeedge.com. I also have an online community for law firm managers, which is called legalmanagementexchange.org. And I would say, you know, the questions are really dependent on the person and what their needs are. So I always say that no client is too big or too small. A lot of it just depends on what the need is. You know, we spoke earlier about compensation and projects with regard to that. So we had a very large firm in Chicago who needed help with that because they wanted to be able to recruit some lateral partners. They've got a full team. They're a big firm, but they didn't have anyone who knew how to handle that particular problem. And so, you know, their questions for us would be very different from someone who was a startup and they don't even know what they don't know, and they need, they just need guidance. Typically by speaking with someone, I know what questions that I need to ask them so that I know where they need help.
Yeah, that's fair enough. LegalManagementExchange.org, I took a note of that. Mm-hmm. So this is for practice managers, law firm owners,
so
everybody.
It was just launched. Yes, it was just launched last month. And so there are different levels of membership. You can have a free membership, or there are different levels of paid membership where you can get more focused consulting service, where we meet once a month and we answer questions and help people out that way. So for people who either don't really need a full consultant or can't financially support that, this is another way to get help from our experience. Mm-hmm. Margaret and I are both in that organization. We also plan to, at some point in the future, also open it up for attorneys who want to have like their own group where they can talk with other managing partners, and just, you know, again, I think a lot of times it's a matter of just trying to find out KPIs. So this is something we talked about in our legal management exchange meeting last month. You know, everyone talked about, even though we don't completely compare ourselves to others, we do to a certain extent, right? Because benchmarking helps us to know if we're on the right track. And so how do we come up with, or how do we find out what other firms are doing as far as realization rates? And, you know, are they charging clients for different things? What types of alternative fee arrangements are they putting in place? Different things like that. And so we do different polls through the group so that we can share information with everyone. And so hopefully that's helpful as well.
Makes perfect sense. So LegalManagementExchange.org is the platform. Mm-hmm. And your firm's website, what is the website once again?
It's LawPracticeEdge.
Edge.com. Perfect. Folks, do you listen to this? You want to grow your law firm? Highly recommend that you reach out and connect with Suzette. Suzette, thank you so much. Well, it's been such a pleasure having you on this podcast.
Thank you, Sasha. It's been great to be here.
Thanks for listening to the Grow Law Firm podcast. If you liked the ideas shared in this episode, help a fellow lawyer out by sharing a link to the episode. This episode is powered by the team of experts in client attraction, growlawfirm.com. Do you want a complimentary growth plan for your law firm? Request it at growlawfirm.com/blueprint.